Again, good to have my pastor, Brother Ronnie Craddock, and preached a good message this morning, and we fed him, and I hope he got a nap. I told Miss Ellie, I said, you drive, let him sleep, so he'll be rested up to preach tonight. So, preacher, if you'd come and preach to us tonight, and just appreciate their faithfulness over the years. And Miss Ellie, you really hadn't changed a whole lot. Brother Ronnie hadn't changed a whole lot, right? Now I got all this gray hair, but you still looking good. No, don't agree with me, preacher. I already gave him the love offering.
Brother, I appreciate you. We love you, Pastor. Amen. I know you do too. He's a blessing. Right. Tell you what, we enjoy picking with him. And tell you what, now you can pick with him. He'll pick back at you too. Amen. Right. But anyway, we appreciate Michael and Ellen and all the family. I appreciate all you, church. For being here tonight and what you all done for us and honored us this morning like you did. And surprised me, my wife knew about it. When I saw those pictures coming up, I didn't even know that. I said, you knew about this, didn't you? You know, she just grinned. She didn't say anything. But I certainly didn't know. And I appreciate your kindness and all you've done and so much. So I just want to let you know that. Before I forget, I was thinking about this a little bit ago when I looked up there and saw the girls with the horns and the violin, fiddle I kind of call it, the violin and the piano player. I want to do this tonight. I want those musicians to stand up tonight, and I want you to give them a hand. Amen, musicians? Come on, stand up, man. I tell you, that lady playing that piano done a super job, and these girls on these other instruments, y'all stand up. Wait, stand up. We're going to honor you a little bit. Okay, give them a hand. The Bible said, give honor to whom honor is due. And we do the same thing y'all do. I know some people, and I'm not going to get into that, they think, well, it's almost sacrilegious if you clap. But I look at clapping. When somebody sings a song or a choir or somebody does, and you clap, that's giving them honor. Amen. I had a guy one time used to come to our church, and they were singing, I told him, you know, after service, I said, that was a real good job singing. And he said, give God the glory. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm not giving you God's glory. But God says, you know, give honor to whom honor is due. And when you tell somebody you did a good job, that's not giving God honor away to them, but that's honoring them. And that's what God said do. Amen. Honor them where honor is due. So I appreciate the musicians doing a good job. And I want to honor one other person here today. I don't know his name. He's sitting on the front row. What's your name, son? Stephen? Levi. Boy, that's a good name. Mm-hmm. The priest. Stand up, Levi, if you will. He was just singing away a while ago by himself over there. Let's give Levi a hand. Good job. Thank you. I told my wife, I said, look over at him. Well, he's just singing away. I see you over there too, young fellow, on the second row. Amen. These little young people here tonight, he's just smiling up there on the second row. What's your name? Who?
Eli.
Who?
Eli.
Eli and Levi. Boy, I tell you, we got some great names here. Good to see you. You know, these children are going to grow up one of these days. My five grandchildren was here, and this morning, my, they grow up fast. So if God lets us live, these church of tomorrow, if we have a tomorrow. Amen. But I appreciate all of you, regardless of young people, wherever you at, older people. I ain't going to say old people, older. Amen. You ever feel like you're getting old? Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of them pictures up there. Woo. I'm getting older. I told somebody, I believe I told you, Pastor, today, I said, I'm older than I've ever been. Amen. Can you say that? You know, one thing you start doing when you get older, you forget things. And I'm going to say this before I forget it. Brother missionary family, God bless you, brother. I thought of what the Bible said, God will not forget your work of faith and labor of love. And I thought about Brother Paul, Brother Michael, where Paul one time wrote and said that no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. And the Lord's standing with you, brother, and I appreciate your good work and your family. Amen. But we all forget things. I tell you this, we'll get into the message in a few minutes, but it's good to see you smile. Your pastor say this morning, smile. You know what I've told them our church, Brother Michael? I said, you know, smile. Some people still don't smile sometimes, but I said, Smile, you'll be dead soon. Amen. So, you know, we need to smile. We need to be show people that we're excited about being a Christian. Amen. And I talk about forgetting. I've heard there are three ways you know you're forgetting it. Okay? You're losing it. Number one, you start forgetting things. And what is the other two? You'll feel like you're losing it. Amen. I'll give you this before we get into the Word of God. You may have heard this story about, and it could be three older men. It could be the same way. But it happened to be three older ladies were living together in a home, and they were sharing together. One of them was in a rocking chair, and one of them passed by and had a towel draped over her shoulder, and she said, "Stop." She just walking by, and all of a sudden she stopped. And the woman with a towel on her shoulder said, "Was I going to get a bath or am I coming from my bath?" And the woman in the rocking chair said, looked at her and said, "You crazy thing. You don't know if you were going to get a bath or if you're coming back. You don't know." About the time one of the other ones, she started upstairs, got up about halfway. She stopped and she said, "Was I going up the stairs or was I coming down?" And the woman in the rocking chair, she said, "You don't know if you are going up the stairs or coming down? You two have just lost your mind. You have lost it, both of you." And she reached over on the arm of the rocking chair and she began to knock. And she said, "Knock on wood, I ain't lost my mind." She said, "That knocking, was that the front door or the back door?" Sometimes you might think you got it and you don't. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 10 tonight. Luke chapter 10, and if you have the old Scofield King James Bible, be on page 1089. Very familiar scripture, and you've read it, and you've heard probably many messages, and I hope we can share something that will help you. I want to say also, good to see Mr. Mears Bob Whitaker here tonight. Hadn't seen them in a long time. Oh, I tell you, they're a blessing, both of them good people. Brother Bob, I tell you what, you won't hardly find anybody any nicer and friendly than Bob and his wife. They're a blessing. So I want to honor y'all tonight. Amen. They're a blessing. They're special. And I don't leave anybody out if I apologize. But Brother Fry back there didn't know who he was. His grandpa was a member of my home church back when I was just a little boy. And Brother Noah Fry, I've been knowing him all my life. I did not know that was Noah's son because I probably hadn't seen him in 60 years. Believe it or not, Brother Michael, they lived in Sandy Ridge, Stokes County, didn't you, brother? Years ago, when we went up there to see them, and his daddy was pastoring Hilltop Baptist Church, and I was just a boy, but I remember going up there and seeing the Fry family when they lived in Sandy Ridge. Boy, I'm glad we got reconnected. This morning when he was going out and told me who he was, and I thought, man, I haven't seen him in a long time. So it's good to see you, brother, and it is good to see all of you tonight. Let's stand, if you will, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read starting in verse number 30, and you pray for us tonight. The Bible said, "And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence." This would equal, you know, back in many years ago, $64 is probably twice that now. A couple days' wages or whatever at that time. "And gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this blessed privilege to be here and all that we've heard and experienced today and the blessings of it, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you did give the best for us, that we could be saved. And Lord, and to live for you and the privilege of serving you. And Lord, help us as we go forward from tonight. Bless this church, Lord, as they have started their winter jubilee. Lord, that you will bless them. Lord, and as people would find out that the year of jubilee happened every 7 years, and how that the people would depend on you for that year and focus in on you that year, and then for the 50 jubilee, the 7 years of 7 times 7 of those jubilees on the 50th year was a great jubilee celebration in which people that were slaves were set free, and people that were indebted to someone would be out of debt. People that lands would be restored to them, Lord, and through it all that they would look to thee and they would trust you in that year of jubilee. Lord, in this winter jubilee celebration of this church, Lord, may each one, may all of us of every church represented to know that we need to depend on you and live for you and focus in on you, not only this year, but any more years that you may bless us to have. Lord, that we should focus our things on the things above. And Lord, just help us in every way. Bless the message. Thank you for your help and grace, and remove all Satan that would hinder, and ask all these things now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And again, thank you for being here tonight. Well, you know this story, and you've read it, and you've heard messages, but I want to bring the thought that God has laid on my heart with this message as God inspired me to help me pin it down. And I hope it'll something I can say to help you tonight. And we want to talk to you on this thought on the Jericho Road. On the Jericho Road. Now, you remember, some of you do probably, there's a song that says, on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, me and you. I've been privileged. Me and my wife have been privileged, and some of you may have. We've been privileged to be in Israel different times, and I've been on the Jericho Road. And I remember the Jericho Road that goes from Jerusalem down to Jericho is a road that down through the ages has been not a safe place to travel. Now you have a nice highway and, you know, everything, but there's the old Jericho Road. If you ever get to go to Israel, if you could talk to your tour guides, and maybe they can work it out where you can go on that old Jericho Road. And the old Jericho Road leads you down what I would call a canyon on the side of a mountain, a deep valley. And did you know that that canyon on the Jericho Road is what David wrote about, the Valley of the Shadow of Death? When you go down the Jericho Road, the old road, you go right beside this canyon that is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not only was it a danger of falling off of that road down into a canyon, but on the Jericho Road, it was a place that was not safe to travel because of thieves. Here we find that this man, this unnamed man, had left Jerusalem and going down to Jericho. Now, I want you to think of this in three different areas tonight. I want to focus in on that by the help of the Lord. On the Jericho Road, you say, well, I may never go to Israel. You may not. But There's something here that we need to see, the types and semblances to people today that own a road. I mentioned this morning, you know, we're on one road. We're on a straight and narrow that goes to heaven, or we're on the broad way that leads to hell. Amen. There's only one or two ways. And so here on this Jericho road, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Now, number one, I want to look at this. Number one is the sinner. Okay? The sinner, the certain man that went down from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, you know, speaks of peace. It's the city of David, the city of God. There's much to be said about the new Jerusalem. And think of this in typology. You have saved, and you're like that new Jerusalem feeling and look, and you're on fire for the Lord. But if you head down toward Jericho, you're getting away from God. Amen? And you're going down the wrong road. Now, this man was going. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been on the road, but the fact was he was on the Jericho road. Now, Jericho, if you've ever go there, and if you've been there, you know, Jericho, the town itself, is like an oasis in the wilderness, like desert land, and you have like an oasis in Jericho. Jericho, you have like the city of palm trees. They have palm trees. It's just a beautiful city. And at one time you freely could go, but now it's under Arab control. You can still go, but it's a little different. But there in Jericho was that spring that Elisha, God, used him. He put the salt in and healed the springs down at Jericho. Jericho is a place that's very beautiful and appealing. Did you know a lot of people today, their Jericho is the world. And it looks real good. And they're headed down the wrong road, going down from Jerusalem. That's interesting, he said, going down from Jerusalem. And just for information, Jericho, when it comes to elevation, you know, highest places and lowest places, Jericho, unless a new city has been built, is the lowest city elevation-wise on earth. If you go on past Jericho, you go down to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth. Call it Dead Sea because it's so much salt. It's like 33% salt. Your ocean's like 3%. And nothing can live in the Dead Sea. And what is amazing, Brother Michael, the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth and has no outlet. I'm trying to go somewhere with this. You get on the wrong road, sinner, you are on the wrong road. If you're not saved, lost sinner. If you're unsaved, you're on the wrong road and you're going down, down, down and lower. I've seen people, Brother Michael, that was in church at one time. Even some that I've pastored. And my friend, they got out of church for different reasons. I said this. I've told this to our church. I've told it to others, and I'll tell it to you. Other than salvation, I've preached, I know over the years more. Secondly, other than salvation, I've tried to preach faithfulness all my life, Brother Bob. And the more I believe being faithful to God, being faithful to God's house, can I get amen? But sometimes the more you preach, brother, the worse people do. And sometimes you see them and they're going down the wrong road, as if they're going down the Jericho road and they're going away from Jerusalem, so to speak, spiritually away from God. And they're headed down to a lower place in their life. I've said it. I didn't coin the phrase. Sin will take you further than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. You're right. You get on that old road that leads down to pleasures, and our world is pleasure, man. I'm glad we can have some good pleasures and enjoy some things, but folks, people have got it all out of kilter tonight. And they're headed and don't realize that they're going down the wrong road. Amen. Going down away from God. Anytime you go away from God. My pastor told me this many years ago, Brother Fry. He said, I heard him say this. He said, if God seems far away, he said, who moved? See, God says, behold, I am the Lord, I change not. So if God seems far away, who moved? Who was it? God. Amen. So this man is going down Jericho. Now from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's roughly about 18 miles long. It's amazing if you're riding in a tour bus or whatever, and you're going down a hill, and you see an elevation sign, and you see a sign, and I've seen it, going from Jerusalem to Jericho, there's a sign on the side of the highway that says sea level. And you continue to go down. Sea level. And you keep going for miles down the mountain. Long way down. But it looks appealing in Jericho. But boy, you get away from Jericho. It's, you know what the wilderness in the Bible? Brother Bob, I always thought wilderness until I saw it. I thought maybe bamboo briars and vines and stuff. The wilderness is not that. It'd be good if it was. The wilderness is barren desert mountains. You get away from God, you're going to be a loser. Amen. But he left. He left and went down a road that has a lot of dangers. My friend, the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. But here's a picture of the sinner. He has fallen among thieves. Did you know, you that are unsaved, we that are saved, we know it. You that's not saved, you were born into sin. And there was a thief after your soul. And that thief is the devil, amen? And the Bible said he was a liar from the beginning. He's a thief. And he's out to try to steal you and destroy you. He is your enemy. Just like these thieves on the highway, Brother Michael, didn't care anything about this certain man that went down from Jerusalem. They cared less about him. The devil and the devil's crowd, listen to me. We need to love all people that's lost. They need God. We need to love them. We love the sinner, but not love the sin. And we need to love them. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil has no love for the Christian, and he also has no love for the lost person either. And here he fell among thieves. They wounded him. They stripped him. The devil will take everything he can away from you. He'd take your salvation if he could. But you're sealed to the day of redemption if you're saved. The devil would destroy you. The Lord looked at Peter one day and said, Satan has desired to have you and sift you like wheat. People talk about, I got all shook up. You know who wants to shake us up? The devil. Amen. Sifting. If you're sifting something, get all nervous and all upset. The devil wants us all to be crying, throwing in the towel. But the Bible said we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He fell among thieves. Just like lost people have fallen into sin deeper and deeper and deeper. He was abused. He was not loved. He was mistreated. And my friend, the best person, the best friend you'll ever have is Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. But here's this man on the Jericho road, stripped of his righteousness, robbed of his riches, didn't have nothing. Laying out there on the side of the road. You and I, before we were saved, we were stripped of any righteousness. And all our righteousness is like a filthy rag in the sight of God. And the Bible said he was half dead. He was there, verse number 30, half dead. Lost person, listen to me. The Bible says if you're not saved, that you're dead in sins and trespasses. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that we were without hope and without God in the world. Lost person, you're the sinner that this is depicting. And my friend, if you don't have God, you're half dead. You say, I feel pretty good. But you're alive physically, but spiritually you're dead. Amen? In trespasses and sin. Here was this man, brother, half dead. He was there. He could have went either way. My friend, if you're not saved, you could die today. You can go to heaven or you will go to hell. One of the two. I mentioned that this morning. He's all alone. Brother Michael, he's all alone in the world. He thought he had friends, but now all of a sudden he don't have nothing. everything lost. Now suppose you gained everything as a lost person. But the Lord said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? This certain man, we don't know who he was, he had lost it all. On a highway, by thieves and robbers, beat him and stripped him. And he's laying there in open shame, dying. Bleeding, suffering, and probably unconscious. He was not even conscious. I preached this morning, God is open for business. But he was so, no doubt, unconscious. He didn't even, probably couldn't even think about God.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
The Bible said the devil's blinded men's eyes. They can't even see. And here he was. So we see the type of the sinner by that road that was going down. And he's laying there half dead. Well, verse 31, by chance there came down a certain priest. And he saw him. He turned and went the other way. On the other side. And a Levite. As Levi's name mentions, Levites in the Bible, you know this, probably all of you, that they were in charge of the priesthood. And, you know, they had, you know, certain roles and responsibility. And the worship and the Old Testament and the sacrifices and all, making everything right. They had... You know, they didn't even have an inheritance among the people and the land, but God was there was a special group of people to do a work for God. The priest was supposed to be doing a work for God.
Right.
But here was a priest and a Levite that saw this man.
Right.
Number two, we looked at the sinner. Number two, now we're looking at the self-righteous. Here was supposedly a priest that knew the Old Testament law given to Moses. He knew how he was supposed to treat his brother. Amen. How he was supposed to be godly. But he wasn't doing it. Here was a Levite that went through the rituals. And all the washings of the hands and all the things of the burnt offerings and the wave offerings and the heave offerings and all these offerings that they got done. Slaying of the animals and draining the blood and presenting the blood and putting the sacrifice on the wood and burning all that. They were doing all the righteous outward deeds. But it's apparent they didn't know God. Amen? Jericho, at this particular time, was a city where a lot of priests lived in. A beautiful place. And they would go down there when they were not doing their duties. And they would go down there and to live. And then when it was time for them to come back, they would come back. But what I found out, there was about 12,000 that said to be thought priests living in Jericho about this time. 12,000 priests. And passing by this man that needed help. Brother, missionary, thank God you're there to try to help those people beside the road, so to speak. And you got compassion on them. They may not be listening, but God's got a reward for you. And aren't you glad that God rewards us for faithfulness and not results? Amen? So, brother, you keep on keeping on. God bless you. 12,000 priests were thought to live in this city. And it wasn't wrong to live there. Even Elisha and Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. Okay? Zacchaeus got saved. Certainly, Elisha was a man of God, so it wasn't wrong to live there. But my friend, so many people flock to places like that and leave God's work unattended. they were returning from their temple duties and not really understanding what God said. Their duties and to love thy neighbor as thyself. They were believers in the law, the Old Testament law. But even the law, they should have stopped and tried to help these people. Knowing the Old Testament law, they didn't do it. And may I remind you what Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 says, that the law could not never give life. Now, they couldn't give everlasting life to this man. They couldn't, as we cannot give salvation to people from ourselves. But we can go and try to help them, amen, to see the need of the Lord. But how many Christians today are not even doing that? It's like, we four that say us four no more. Folks, it's more to it than us just being saved and shouting the victory. There are people dying and going to hell. Here they broke the law. The Bible said even if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. But no doubt I could just about see them, Brother Michael, going down with their religious garb on and feeling real good about themselves. And more going by and saying, oh, I don't want to get involved with him. Huh? No, not today. No. I got Jericho on my mind. Didn't have Jerusalem on their mind.
Right.
Speaks of heaven. They had the Lord's city on earth on their mind. Amen.
Right.
I'm not just being faulting on Jericho now. I'm just trying to illustrate. Their mind wasn't on helping this man. They were self-righteous. They were really unworthy of their profession. They was like hirelings. Thank God you got a good pastor that's not a hireling. Several years ago, Brother Bob, me and one of the members were visiting a man there. I'll tell you the town in advance. And I'm not putting bouquets on up. Please do not think that I am not. But we were visiting the man, and he was a good man. He'd been, you know, sick, and he was a good man, saved man. He went to a different church. It wasn't a Baptist church, but he was, I honestly believe he was a saved man, good man. Me and one of our men of the church was visiting him in the hospital. And his pastor, I think maybe was either there when we got there or came in after we got there, was visiting this man in the Forsyth Hospital. And I'm not putting bouquets on me. Please do not think that. I just want to give you an illustration because I'm going with this. And this man told his pastor, he said, Brother Ronnie, tells it like it is. And you know what his pastor told me, Brother Bob? And I've got a witness, the man that was with me. He said, this pastor, his pastor of his church, talking about telling it like it is, he said, if I did that, they would run me off. God help us. Hirelings. Huh? It'd be better to stand up and tell them the truth if they did run him off. Amen?
Yes, amen.
But he's afraid they're going to run him off. So he's going to just, whatever they want to hear, I guess. Folks, it's not what I want to hear. You want to hear what God wants to tell us. Amen?
Amen.
And here these men, supposed to be righteous, religious. They were religious. But here they are illustration of the law. The law of Moses, the Bible said, is good if a man use it lawfully. But the Bible said that Old Testament law, by the deeds of the law, no man shall be justified in the sight of God. The Bible said the law of God, the Old Testament, was our schoolmaster to bring us to the Lord. It don't mean you're saved by the law, but it's good if you use it lawfully. They were not even using it lawfully. But the law, these men, this Pharisee, or priest, then you could call him whatever, hypocrite, and this Levite, they didn't even try to give life to this man or help, but the law itself couldn't help this man. This man needed more than what the law could give him. I want you to turn real quickly to two places, and I won't be there long. But let's look in Romans chapter 7. I want to show you this, how that these self-righteous people that were the law, when I say law of God, the Old Testament, how that they were so conscious of that, but unconscious of what the law could not do. In Romans chapter 7, if you'll go down to verse number 6, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Now the law could never really give life. It couldn't give life. It just told you what was wrong. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to see this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll give you a moment to find it. Chapter 3, verse 6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." These two men, the priest and the Levite, represented the law, the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, but it couldn't give life, and it really couldn't take care of this man's need, real need that he had. They couldn't give life. You remember? The Bible said he was half dead. The law could not breathe new life into this man. No more can you live in by the deeds of the law or doing what you think is right in your own eyes and living and doing your own thing and living your life and leaving God out. You'll be no more righteous than this Pharisee type of people of the priest and the Levite. If you think you can do it on your own, you're no different. Amen. Because the law and good works and good deeds can never save you and give you new life. Amen. We see a picture of the sinner on the side of the road. We see a picture of the self-righteous passing him by. But number three, we see a picture of the Savior. Amen? Go back to Luke chapter 10. The Bible said, "But a certain Samaritan." Huh? The Samaritans. You know, the Lord met the woman at the well that day. And he talked to her, and she was a woman of Samaria. She was a Samaritan. And she was surprised that Jesus, she didn't know who Jesus was, but she knew he was a Jew. She was surprised that he being a Jew was even talking with her, a Samaritan. For she even said, "Brother Michael, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They were not liking one another." Kind of like you said about the people there. Some of them, that guy said, you know, they don't even like one another. Right. She couldn't understand why Jesus was talking to her. Huh? Amen. You see, the law, he could have given some of the scriptures. He's the Word of God. But he said, "Woman, give me the drink." So how is it you being a Jew talking to me? Well, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. He said, "If you know who it was asking you for drink, you would ask of him and he'd give you living water." Amen? Amen. Only the Savior can give living water. But the Bible said this certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I want to give you three quick things there, then we're going to go on. Three things. He came to where he was. You remember the song? Maybe some of your folks may sing it. "When I could not go to where he was, he came to me." Right. This man, brother, was on the verge of dying. He couldn't get up. He couldn't go to the Samaritan, good Samaritan. Yes. But the good Samaritan came to him. Right. Amen. The Bible said no man could come to God except the Spirit draw him. He went. Thank God, God came to me one night and spoke to my heart. Not only came where he was, but number two, he had compassion. He was a stranger. And this man on the side of the road was a stranger. But he had compassion. The book of Jude, I believe it is, said, some having compassion pull them out of fire. Folks, there's people headed for the fiery flames of hell. Where's our compassion? Amen? I know, and I want to encourage you, and I'm not here to discourage you, but I want to encourage you in this, we're still New Year. We all need to do more for God. Amen? God, like Brother Michael said this morning, God can still do a work today. God can still revive us again. Because Jesus lives. Amen? He came to where He was. And he had compassion in verse 34, and he went to him. Are you listening? It's one thing to come to where somebody is. It's one thing to have compassion and feel sorry for somebody. But Brother Michael, verse 34 said he went to him. Where do we need to go? There are people outside this church and every church that are lost. Did you know, and you know this, the majority of people are lost. Because Jesus said, few that be that find go in the straight gate, narrow way, few that be find, but broad's way, many which be that go in thereat. There's most people, let's be honest, most people are unsaved. There may be some members of church and members of church here, members of church, but I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about salvation. We've got it all wrong in our world. Sometimes when I joined the church, I shook the preacher's hand. I was baptized. I've done all this. Folks, that don't save you. That's something you ought to be doing after you're saved. But we've got so many people that's joining the church for all the wrong reasons. So maybe they can have a place to be buried or where they could do this or be recognized or whatever. Folks, this is about going and reaching the lost. Amen. He went to him. And the Bible said he bound up his wound. First of all, before we done that, he got there and he was stripped naked. Buck naked. They took his clothes. Took what he had, took his clothes. The Bible said, all things in my life and yours are naked and open to with whom we have to do. This man was laying there. I want you to back up a couple pages. I'll show you something real quick. Luke chapter 8. I know I was in Luke this morning, I'm Luke tonight. That just happens to be the way it is. I mean, I do preach in other books of the Bible. Amen. But just so happened this morning, today we've been in Luke. But in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 27. And when he, Jesus, went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Here's a man, Brother Michael, beside the road, nothing, no clothes. He was naked. He was half dead, laying there, but this man also was half dead. He was dead in sin and trespasses. He didn't have no clothes on. What's that got to do with it? Well, let's read on. Go down to verse 35. Now, Jesus had already cast the demons out. And verse 35, the same man in verse 27 that was possessed with the devil wore no clothes. Verse 35, they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Amen. And they were afraid. Amen. I heard somebody say this one time, get people right with God, they put some clothes on. Say amen right there. Amen. Well, I want you to think of this too. Where did he get the clothes? Well, he went down to Belk right quick or Dillard's. No. He had just had the devil cast. Where did he get the clothes? Think on it. Well, I don't know. But one thing we do know, who was he in contact with? Someone that the Good Samaritan is typifying and talking about, Jesus. My mother will be 91 years old in March. And my mother has sung this song for years and years, Two Coats. And the song, I'm not going to sing it, but Two Coats, the song says, were before me, one old and one new. I could have either. What must I do? One coat was all ugly and tattered and worn, but the other was a new coat that had never been worn. And the song goes on to say, tell you, and I know it's not proper English, but it said, I tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I laid off that old coat and put on the new. This man previously was full of the devil, but the Lord clothed him. I don't know where he... The same Lord that could take a few loaves of bread, a couple of fish, and feed 5,000 besides women and children, and another time feed 4,000 besides women. Why, hey, if he wanted to, he'd make the clothes appear. Amen? Well, I don't know. Hey, but all I know, he's clothed now. The Lord took care of that. Amen. Well, here's this Good Samaritan. He goes over here and bounds up his wounds. I don't believe that he's got a medical kit. Okay, well, here, I just happen to have some Band-Aids. I just happen to have some. I believe he took his own clothes and made bandages and wrapped this man up. You know what they did to Jesus on the cross? What did they do? They stripped him of his raiment. He became sin for us. Jesus did, who never committed sin. He became sin. And he hung there in open shame that you and I could be saved and clothed with righteousness. Here's this Good Samaritan. He's taking his garments. And maybe he's ripping them up. He's sacrificing what he's got to bound up this man that he's got compassion on. And he's wrapping him up. But not only that, but he says he's poured in oil and wine. I want you to look with me. And this will probably be the last verse I have you turn. But look in Isaiah chapter 1, if you will. 7:13 in your old Schofield. I want you to look at this. Why did he pour in oil and wine? What was the reason for that? Did he just want to cleanse the wound? Why did he do that? Well, let's look what the Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isn't that something? Here's a man beside the road. He's been beaten and bruised. He's stripped. He's got wounds. He's bleeding. He's dying. And the self-righteous people walked by and didn't offer any help. They didn't go to him and try to pour in wine and oil. They didn't mollify or try to put the ointment there. They didn't do anything for him. Right. Looked at him and turned ahead and went the other way. But folks, when that lost person you and I see, that's somebody that Jesus died for. Right. And God loves them like he loves you. Amen. And so when you have a visitation or when you have something, listen, try to be there because God uses people. Right. And you can go and be a help. You say, I can't preach. You don't have to preach. You say, I can't teach. I can't play an instrument. You don't have to. You just show up and God will use you. God will use you. God will help you. But don't be like the priest and the Levite and just walk on by. You know, you think of the Jubilee and thank God and for the time. But God wants people saved. And as Brother Michael mentioned this morning, God can send revival. And we as people of God get revived. The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's kind of our church motto. It's on our bulletins every month. Where there's no vision, the people perish. These people didn't have a vision of that. Saw them, but that was it. They didn't really think no more about it. Don't want to get involved. Or I ain't got time. How many times have you heard that, Brother Michael? Well, Brother Michael, I just don't have time. We have time for what we want to do. Most of the time. We do what we want to do, right? Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I've told them this at our church. My wife is a witness to that. I've told people I like to hunt. I like to fish. I don't fish much, but I love to hunt. I love to do things like that. Sometimes I even play golf, maybe even 2 or 3 years. Of course, I play military golf. You know what military golf is? When you hit the ball left, right, left, right. I told him a story about a guy I heard one time. He found a golf ball. Or he had a golf ball, and he was trying to sell it to this guy. And this guy said, this ball, you can never lose it. The guy said, what do you mean? You can't lose this ball. I said, wait a minute. What if I hit it, and the ball goes into the lake? He said, no problem. The ball will just float to the top. You can get it. Well, that sound pretty good. Well, what if I'm playing and it's late in the evening and it's done got dark? They said, no problem. The ball's got a little light on it. Huh? And you just go to the light. Well, what if I knock it over a bunch of weeds and stuff like that? I can't find it. No problem. Got a little beeper on it. Beep, beep. So he thought, wow. He said, this ball you can never lose. He said, but okay, well, by the way, where did you get it? He said, I found it. But I promise you something, you'll never lose with God once you find Him. I worked with some guys years ago. He meant well. One of them was criticizing, this has been years and years ago, and he said, some people will say, well, I found the Lord. Well, how did you find the Lord? He wasn't lost. But then I read, Brother Mike, in my Bible, the Bible said, seek the Lord while He may be found. It don't mean God is lost, but you need to find God if you don't know God. I said this morning, open for business. God's open for business. You can find God. If you seek Him, the Bible said, with all your heart, you'll seek and you shall find. These two religious people were not concerned about this man's life, and they were not concerned about his soul. Amen. Till we get all really concerned about people dying and going to hell. Amen. That's where it's about. Amen. I love fellowship. Thank God you've got a loving church and fellowship. I've enjoyed my time here and lunch. It was wonderful. And fellowship picking and all, great. And we need that. We need fellowship. We need one another. It's like I saw years ago in a church. It says, enter to serve, worship, but you leave to serve. So when we hear, yeah, keep on fellowship and showing love and be there. Support one another. Bear you one another's burdens. We're here together. But when we go out, remember there's a lost and dying world. And there's people on the side of the old Jericho Road that needs help. Yeah. Let me hurry on. The Bible said that he went to where he was, bound up his wounds. Here's a man got blood all over him. But he bound it up. Poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, his own animal, and brought him to an inn. Took care of him. They'll say he didn't know this man from Adam's house cat. He didn't know who this man was, but he had compassion and he went to him. Not just compassion, but he went to him. Helping him out. Helping him out. Now, there in Jerusalem, there's a place called Good Samaritan Inn. And I don't know if that's actually the place where it was, but somewhere on that road there was an inn. There was a place of stay. And this stranger picked up this stranger, put him on his own camel or donkey, whatever he had, and he walked while the injured man... You ever see these westerns where somebody's been shot or hurt and they've got him draped over a saddle or whatever? He's probably draped over a saddle or whatever, just hanging on or tied on or whatever, and took him to an inn and took care of him. He didn't just get him there and say, okay, make it the best way you can. He took care of this man. And not only that, he stayed all night, because on the morrow, when he departed, so he stayed all night. And on the morrow, the next day, he, the Good Samaritan, departed, took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. 2 days' wage. This 2 pence was equal to 2 days' work. This man paid it all. And may I say to you, Jesus paid it all. Put him his own beast. Got him to where he needed to be. Oh, listen. One of these days, if you say, guess what's going to happen? You go into where you need to be, and that's heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Took him, took care of him. Transportation provided. The Bible said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. I'm just about done, but I'm going to throw this in. If you ever get a chance, and some of you may have already been there, it's a long distance, I know, but if you can ever go see the Ark replica up in Ohio, it's not far from Ohio, it's Kentucky. But on the upstate part of Kentucky, you ought to go up there and see the Ark. And while you're there, go up the road about 15 minutes to just about to the Ohio line. There's a kind of a museum. And we went in there. Me and my wife was blessed to be able to go. And you go in this, Ella, you might help me. What was the name of it? Creation Museum. And you had to stand in line, get tickets, well worth it. You go in this auditorium, and they don't want you to have no phones or taking pictures. Where they dark, they take the lights down. And you're sitting there, and you're looking up at the ceiling. Now, this is a Christian museum, okay? It talks about creation. There's a lot of great things in there. But this thing, it talked about the stars and the planets and the celestial. Even Paul said there's, bodies, terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies. And when you see how big our universe is, they've got these telescopes, and they can put it right up there on the ceiling. Did you know our sun, how big it is? And I went and prepared, but you can look it up. I didn't even know I'd be using this illustration, but our sun is huge. Our solar system is huge. But when that's projected in the entire, and by the way, they're still finding galaxies that they didn't even know about. And you see how small our sun is compared to other planets, other stars or whatever. Wow. No wonder David said, when I consider the moon, stars, and planets, what is man that you're even mindful of him? When you see just how big that is, and God's even further than that, can't be seen. And you get to see just how big God is, how small we really are. And yet God loves us. to not only come to where we are and to save us, pouring in oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God puts His Spirit in you. And the Bible said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. That one day, even though you and I were hell-deserving sinners, Jesus came to where we was, and He poured in the oil and wine, and the wine represents joy. He and thank God put us on beast, got to where we need to go. You're going to get to heaven, amen, not on your own power, but by the power of the Lord. And closing, not only did He say, you take care of him, and He says, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He's returning. He said, I promise, I'm coming back for my friend. I'm coming back for the one that I took my own clothes and covered him up. I'm coming back for the one that I loved. He didn't know me, but I knew he needed help. And I'm coming back for him. If I anything more I owe you, I'll pay it. But I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm glad Jesus is going to see to it. If you're saved, you're going to get to heaven. Amen. In spite of the devil. But listen, He's coming back for us. Amen. So let's don't be on the Jericho road of the world. But let's stay on that straight and narrow road. Amen. Because the Lord's done fixed you up. He's put new life in you. You were half dead in sin going to hell. But if you're saved, listen, we should show forth the praises of God and let our light shine. We ought to be the happiest people in the world because we're going to a place far beyond the moon, the stars, and the planets. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Aren't you glad you got on the right road? But look out here outside these walls, many people that's going in down the wrong road. And they're going down, down, and down. They need some good Samaritans in Currytown Baptist Church, Yakin Valley Baptist Church, West End, West Side Baptist Church, West Bend Baptist Church, any other church represented. Every church needs to be a good Samaritan type church to care for the people that don't care for themselves and don't care for you, don't know you. But they got a soul. And they're somebody that Jesus died for. This unnamed man on the side of the road had been beaten, stripped, and wounded, and left to die. The Lord cared for him. When the priests and the Levites turned their head and went the other way and couldn't give him new life, but this one could. And Jesus gives new life. Amen. What road are you on? What concern do you and I have? We need to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Amen? Because Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. Let's stand by our heads. Musicians, would you come?